Hey friends, here we are on Heart Refined. So, you know, one of the things that I want to do with this podcast to really develop this, because this is not just all about me and what I know how to say. It's really about us joining together and talking about things that we all struggle with and we all want to get better at. And we want to make sure and glorify the Lord in everything that we're doing. And at the same time, sometimes things just seem so big and so overwhelming. And they're kind of, I guess I'm stumbling on my words because I think some things seem so big and overwhelming, yet they're really small things that we should just be able to deal with. And so one of the things I want you to recognize is whether you are finding this podcast on Anchor or Spotify or Apple, or if you're finding it on my website on Patreon, A Heart Refined on Patreon, or A Heart Refined on Facebook, or if you are following me on Amazon on my author's page, for my Simple Surrender book and journal, then you can comment, you can say things, talk about where you're at, talk about how you struggle with this. And so, yeah, I'm going to talk for a few minutes about the things that are going on. And I'd love to hear your input and see where it is that you fall in this matter. So here it is. Why is annoyance so powerful? The thought process or the emotion, I don't even know what bracket that falls in, but annoyance. And really that sort of is a couple of different thoughts right there. You have annoyance, you have frustration, maybe passive aggressive control, and there's bitterness and self-pity that festers inside of there. Assumption. We make a lot of assumptions as women, and we call it discernment because we like to put ourselves in that noble bracket, right? Well, I do believe that I have the gift of discernment, but I also know in my sinful nature, I am cynical, I'm bitter, I assume a lot of things, I have an offended, self-pitiful spirit, and that doesn't go for God at all. That doesn't work for Him. That's not His good work in me, and I'm just wearing the discernment cape and pushing away from people because I think I've got it figured out, when in all actuality, I'm just stewing in my own garbage here. I'm just making up my own mind about stuff. So anyways, there's several different facets that I'm thinking of. Why is this so powerful inside of me? I guess, you know, not I guess, I know for sure, over the past couple weeks since I have rejoined with my husband as he comes off deployment from Afghanistan and Kuwait, I'm so proud of him. And I'm so excited that he is home. He has done a really hard thing. And for those of you who know, I'm not one who really gets in the political swim lane much, but I will make this statement as a military wife. He went and worked very hard at the tail end of 20 years of people, many, many servicemen and women working very, very hard to surrender their lives and to help a people who are oppressed and all the horrible thoughts right there. It's so much worse than what we can even think. He worked very hard to help those people remain free. And in just a very few short weeks, all of that work was undone when it was handed back over to the Taliban. So I'm very, very proud of my husband. And I'm very sad for all of the years of, I'm proud of all the people that have done this, been very sad on their behalf for the work that's been undone. So I'm saying all that to say, this sets up where I'm so frustrated with myself. Because I'm a little flustered. I'm annoyed. We've lived apart for 15 months. We had a tiny little season in September last year where we were together for just a couple of weeks, but we were living out of bags, and it was not really a, you know, just hard good time together. It's just a little snippet. So why am I allowing myself to be so annoyed all the time when he's done such a good thing and I've been away from the man that I love for all this time? It's because my heart is wretched at best. I laugh when I say that because I know that can sound like such a hideous word right there, wretched. But I'm going to tell you something. I know myself. Like I say to my clients all the time, like, I can't be trusted with chips in my house. For those of you who don't know this about me, I'm a holistic health coach, a nutritional specialist, and a personal trainer. And I have to walk a really tight line because I'm not just a girl who has always been thin. I'm not a girl who has, in fact, even in my thinnest time now, I'm a thick girl. And so it's this thing where I have to walk a very steady line. So I can't be trusted with chips in my house. I love chips and dip, but I can't keep it in my house. I'll have it on occasion when I'm at a restaurant, but it can't be had in my house. And so I think it's the same thing here. I can't be trusted with annoyance. Like, I can't foster that in my spirit because what I do with it is quite destructive. It's excessive. Now, there's things where I can me and my husband can joke and pick at each other about how we feel about a certain thing, and ha ha ha, we disagree on that. And lots of times we do fine with it. We've been through a whole lot in our marriage, and we know how far is too far. A lot of times, sometimes we still go too far and joking and picking at each other. That's still very possible. But the Lord has brought us a long way, and so we argue differently. We don't necessarily fight like we used to, and so I praise the Lord for that. But still, it's because I can't be trusted with annoyance, and so the Lord has trained me over time to learn where to shut your mouth. And y'all, I'm not good at it still, even with all the training and the refining and the beautiful things He's done to set me apart, to consecrate me into His love and all of that, I still can't. You want to know why? Because I savor my annoyance, my anger, my passive aggressive control. I savor my sarcasm. I savor my desires. And we know what James says, that that desire gives way to sin and sin gives birth to death. We know the scripture also says that the consequence of sin is death. And so I think, what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that necessarily one of us are going to kill over dead in the moment. But there's a death that happens in our relationship every time that I foster or I savor my annoyance so much so that I possibly emasculate my husband or I tear him down some. And I start thinking about all the things that I love. And, you know, I love a clutter-free house. I say that as I look at my cluttered desk. You see, the point is, I love things to be in order, for everybody else to have things in order. And if I'm a little bit of a mess, that's no big deal. I think it was Ronald Reagan, maybe, or Abraham Lincoln, I'm not sure. One of these two said this, that we judge people on their actions. We judge ourselves on our intentions. And that's two totally different worlds. And that's what I recognize right here, is I'm just chewing on, savoring on my intentions and his actions or lack thereof. And that, for a fact, my sweet friends, is ungodly. It's evil. Because if we define the word evil biblically, it's anything that separates us from the character, the nature, the plan, or the will of God. So we recognize that anything that is divisive or quarrelsome, as Romans 1 calls it, that means that we're actually living in evil wickedness. I don't want to be wicked to my husband. I want to be the one who sets him up for success in relationship with the Holy Spirit. And if all I'm doing is running in and making sure that my counters are clean and that his attitude is in check with mine, oh goodness, it's a big flop. I think a lot of that shows my pride and my leaning into myself and my self-sufficiency. In my book, in the day 11, it's called Myself Cannot Ever Satisfy My Soul. And I recognize it's real important for us to look at the things that separate us from God. Now, if we see Romans 8, it says there's nothing ever that can separate us from the love of God. That's true, because his love is so vast and wonderful. It's like the prodigal father. You know, when the prodigal son leaves, the prodigal father's arms are open wide when he leaves and when he returns. But when the prodigal son leaves, he puts himself outside of the protection and relationship with God. He can't, or the prodigal son outside of the relationship with the Father. Same with God. If we go out, we can't hear him because we've gone so far from him. It's not because his voice is not there, but because it's still and it's quiet and it's simple. Then we, with all the noise of the world or the noise of the thing that we're choosing to grow towards, we can't hear him. and we can't experience that protection within that. And so I feel like that annoyance is this proverbial prodigal son running away in his own will and his own spirit. And when we go in that spirit, we cannot hear anything that God says. So if we look at Psalm 107, this is one of the ways, and I'm speaking specifically out of verses 23 through 32. And this is the part where it's talking about the self-sufficiency is something that separates us from God. And I believe however that looks, we as women, we rule our roost and we say, I am the head of this household. I run this show. When the Bible is very clear that that is not our job. Yes, it is our responsibility to keep a house clean and neat and nice, but you tear down your man and you are stepping outside of the will of God. And that is a factual statement. And so what it says it does is, like those who are going about their works, they praise the Lord for this is actually in reference to those who trade on the vast seas. And I want you to cross-reference this to a woman who is doing great things in her house and taking care of her home. But it says, they saw the Lord's works, his wondrous works in the deep. He spoke and raised a stormy wind that stirred up the waves of the sea, rising up the sky, sinking down to the depths, their courage melting away in anguish. They reeled and staggered like a drunkard, and all their skill was useless. Have you ever thought, ladies, that part of the reason why we're struggling so much with depression and anxiety, these physical pains, these migraines, digestive issues, and so on and so forth, is because we're living in pride? And because we are so amazed by our own works that the Lord has raised up a storm inside of our bodies because he wants to, in all of his mercy, bring us into his will, bring us into his presence. And we start to struggle in our life. We can't do anything. Our skills become useless. Our houses become messy. Our relationships become messy themselves. But in verse 28, it says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. They rejoiced when the waves grew quiet. Then he guided them to the harbor they longed for. See, what if that's the place we were? If we calmed down, we cried out to the Lord, and the place that we've been longing for all along is quiet relationship, is special time with family and order in our home, and just good things all around us in our home. But our control is what strangled that out. We blame it on the messy kids. We blame it on the absent-minded husband. But it's us who is the controller of that ship. James 1 also talks about that ship. I think it's James 1. It's in James. But that ship, and we're asking for wisdom from God. I know this for a fact. This part is in James 1. We're asking for wisdom, but when he gives it to us, we're not heeding that. We're not listening to it. We're not taking that in. And so then we're that ship tossed in the sea, tossed about in the waves, unstable in all we do. We are prideful women. We are. And I'm pointing all of my fingers at me right now. Because I recognize this is something that I not only need to encourage women about, I need to go to my knees about continually. I'm already there, but this is something over and over that I need to continue to preach into myself, because my husband, by God's ordination, by his order, he is the head of my house. And it doesn't matter how clean I like things. If I am dishonoring my husband, I am dishonoring my God, and I have to move out of that position. Excuse me. Philippians 4, verse 5 says, let your gentleness be evident to all. And this is coming out of Paul, where he's obviously Philippians, where Paul is addressing a church that's facing oppression from outside its walls, but also tension from within. And he's urging them to go through a continual process of surrender to God. But verse 5 encourages them to lay down their complaints using gentleness with one another. And in Greek, did you know the word gentleness takes on a whole new life? It means patience, mildness, lenience. Oh, lenience and moderation. That word gentleness means lenience and moderation. It means calm down, woman, and shut your mouth. As we face the battle of attack from outside our churches and our homes, there's a natural tension that happens from within. And we can see here that Paul has given us more than just some random suggestions that he made up. We have the example of the character of Jesus Christ that we have to go by. I encourage you, go to Philippians 4 and look at those words. Whatsoever is noble, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is pure, think on these things. It's not that we think on a clean house or an orderly husband. We think on Jesus, and that's how we move out of it. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8, and I promise I'm going to be quiet here in a second. But the point, it says, the point is, the person who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make every grace overflow to you so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. Being patient with your husband, gracious and merciful, just as Christ has been to us, is imperative and is a very good work. The Lord lays favor on those who love Him. And when we see Him showing us His great love, we need to give that out to, we're quick to give it out to people on Facebook or at the store or whatever. We will bend over backwards in some places where we have no clue about anybody except a dramatic story that we've heard. But for our husbands and for our children, I think we give our children more grace than we give our husbands. And then we expect our children to be respectful people. And we've done that. We've done nothing of the sort in front of them. So anyways, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I definitely want to drive it home. It's important that we recognize that what satisfies our soul is Jesus. And our husbands, they cannot satisfy our souls. They can love us in the place where we are. But if we are not doing that for them and being examples of the satisfaction of our souls, then there's going to be a disgruntled nature in your house. It's going to keep going. So what do you savor? Do you savor annoyance, or do you savor the one who satisfies your soul? Here's the prayer on day 11, and then I promise I'll tell you the songs too that come off of this one, because these spoke to me big time. But here's the prayer. Praise you, Jesus, for always being enough. Even when I try to rely on myself, you are faithful to convict me of my pride, directing me towards full repentance and drawing me back into your light with your blessed forgiveness. Savior, I'm amazed by your willingness to forgive me for placing myself on the throne that is yours. I am just in awe of your kindness through mercy. I want to repent of myself because you are the only one who could ever satisfy my hungry soul. Look up these songs, friends. Enough by Elias Dummer. I Repent by Steve Green. Who Can Satisfy My Soul by Dennis Jernigan. Look up these songs and sing and pray to the Lord, laying down, asking the Holy Spirit to pour out repentance on your heart, or pour out compassion so that you might move from yourself into the love, the joy, the mercy of Jesus Christ, and love your husband well. Okay. God bless you, friends. I hope that mattered to you, and I would love to hear your comments on anything that I've spoken about today. Let's get in good conversation about how we can do better to glorify God together. All right, talk to you soon. Bye.